It's great to be with you this morning. My name's PJ, I'm on staff here at Highfield, and at the moment as a church we're going through a series on prayer. We're thinking about prayer, what it means to pray, and it's rooted from that passage in Luke 11 where Jesus' disciples come to him and say, "Lord, teach us to pray." There was something different about the quality and quantity of Jesus' prayer that was attractive to them, that meant them want to have more. And Jesus' response is one many of us will know, it's the Lord's Prayer. And so at the moment in our series, we're going through the Lord's Prayer line by line, unpacking what it means. And today we're thinking about, Lord, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. So we're going to be thinking about what that means for each of us as a church, but also as individuals. And right at the beginning of the series, we thought and had a time to just pray of where do we want our prayer life to be come the end of our series? Where do we want our prayer life of God to be come the end of this series? Where do we want it to grow? Where do we want to be stretched in our prayer life? And we're about halfway through now. So just in this moment of silence, just think about how's that going? How has God been growing you already, teaching you already new, different, deeper ways to pray? And again, just pray, Lord, teach us more. Let me pray. Father God, I thank you that we can have a relationship with you, that we can pray and talk to you and commune with you and hear back from you, Lord. God, I pray that you'll continue to grow us as a church in what it means to pray. And so that from that place, we can go on and do amazing things for you. And God, may you speak to us this morning. Teach us something new of what it means to pray in our life. Lord, use what I've prepared just to bring your kingdom here today. Amen. So like I said, we're this morning thinking about the line, give us today our daily bread. And when Jesus said this in the Lord's Prayer, it would have struck a chord with those listening. Because for those listening, they were Israelites, they were Jewish people, they were the people of God. And the idea of daily bread would have been part of their history as a people. It's something which made complete sense, and it's from our passage which we were looking at in Exodus. And Exodus is the time of the Israelite people where they ended up spending 40 years in the desert. 40 years stuck in the desert before they could go on to a place called the Promised Land, the land which God had promised them. To kind of take a back step to work out where we are in our passage, the story of God's people of Israel starts with a guy called Abraham, and God made promises to him that he would have children numerous that would fill the earth, that his nation that he would lead would become a great nation, that there'd be a nation that would be blessed, and then through their nation, through his God's people, they would bless the nations around them. That's an amazing promise, but what happens in the story of God's people is it doesn't quite work out. They end up in Egypt as slaves, entrapped there, being put into labor to do and support the Egyptians. So God rises up a leader called Moses, who ends up going asking the Pharaoh to let God's people go. Pharaoh says no, and 10 plagues later, he finally says yes. And so they let go, God parts the Red Sea, and they're on their way to the Promised Land, the land which God had been promising them for years and years and years. And this is where we jump in our story. They're in the desert, and as you can picture, in the desert there's not much food. There's not much water either. And estimates vary of how large the Israelite nation was at this point, but it's something in the region of 2.5 million people. 2.5 million of them are traveling through the desert, plus their cattle, which also need food and water. So it's unsurprising that they're struggling. They're struggling to find food and water, and so they get really impatient. Just for our passage, they're basically complaining. They're wishing they were back in Egypt as slaves. They were wishing they were slaves because at least when they were slaves, they got fed. And so then Moses prays to God, and God says that he will provide for them. And he does. And so in the morning, as the dew evaporates, bread is left scattered. Enough bread for 2.5 million people is quite a lot of bread. Not only that, an omer, which is the weight of the bread, it said each of them collected, is about just over 1.5 kilos. It's not a small amount of bread, it's definitely a satisfying amount. So 1.5 kilos of bread for 2.5 million people all on the floor. It's quite easy to see that God is providing for them in an amazing way. But they didn't know at this point that this was going to be their diet for 40 years. Because they end up mucking up in the desert and going against what God says. So they end up being in the desert for 40 years, surviving off this manna, the type of bread, which basically means, what is this? What a great name. Surviving off this bread which God provided for them. And so when Jesus, in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer which he said to his disciples when he was teaching them to pray, give us today our daily bread, they would have immediately remembered this story of their people, how God had provided for them every single day, for 40 years, the food they needed to survive. Not just to top them up, but to survive. Without it, they would have died. They would have perished. And so when Jesus says, give us today our daily bread, this immediately comes into their head and they understand a lot more than maybe we do now. Because the thing is, when Jesus talks to them about saying, give us today daily bread, he's really striking a chord and reminding them of their people of how God provided for them. Because God is a God who provides. The God who he reveals himself to, in Scripture to be, is a God who provides. He provided for the Israelite nation bread for 40 years so that it would survive. He provided us with his Son, coming, living a perfect life, dying a perfect death, so that we may have a relationship with him, that we are not condemned to death, but have freedom to have eternal life if we choose to believe. Not only that, he provided his Holy Spirit, that actually those who come to choose and believe in him can be filled with the Holy Spirit, so then they are enabled to live a life for him. That we're not doing it in our own strength. Because God is a God who provides. The problem is, it's really easy to forget. It's really easy to forget that God is a God who provides, because in the grand schemes of the world and history, we are incredibly well off. Incredibly well off. Most of us, every single day, have a roof over our head, have 3 solid meals a day, and probably snacks in between. We're incredibly well off. We have friends and family who love us. We live in a society that provides our education and healthcare for free. We're incredibly well off, and so it's really easy to forget that God is a God who provides. And if we cut a bit deeper, actually, in our society, we're so much more than just well off that we're satisfied. We have reserves aplenty. We have savings accounts and stocks saved away for retirement, maybe a second home. We've stored up these things so then we don't need to worry about this stuff. We don't need to be concerned with where our food is going to come every day. We don't actually need a God who provides for our physical things, it seems. And so it's really easy to forget that he is a God who provides. But the problem is, if we forget that he's a God who provides for our physical needs, it's really easy to also forget that he's a God who also provides for our emotional needs, for our spiritual needs. I loved during the Thanksgiving service some of the promises that Sam and Louise made of promising to look after Axel for his physical needs, but also his moral, emotional needs and his spiritual needs. As parents, that's what we do to provide for our children. But when we get grown up, that responsibility falls on us. And so forget that God is a God who provides for our physical needs because we're really happy and really well off. We then often don't turn to him when it comes to our emotional needs or our spiritual needs. I don't think it's a surprise that in our society we're seeing climbing rates of mental health issues. Because actually, we're really well off physically that we can easily forget our emotional needs. We can easily choose not to think about them because when it comes to physical needs, we're fine. But God is a God who provides for our physical, our emotional, and our spiritual needs. And that's why he calls us to come to him daily, because we need those things daily. And it's great if we come to him daily. He knows. He is much greater and wiser than we are. He knows all things. And so at the beginning of the day, if we're praying to him and saying, God, give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need for today. He knows what's coming up in our day. He knows if we're going to have a really tough issue at work, where someone's going to lay into us and we're going to be emotionally torn apart. He knows that. And so when we pray daily, he can give us what we need to be able to survive with that, to be able to make our way through those hard times. He knows when we pray if we're going to face spiritual attack in our day, if we're going to face temptation, which is going to cause us to stumble. So when we pray to him daily, he can provide what we need spiritually, so then we can fight that temptation in our lives. He's a God who provides, but we can really easily forget that in our life, because our physical needs are all met. But not only is he a God who provides, I think there's another reason why God calls us to seek himself daily. That's because the intimacy that grows when we see someone daily and speak to someone daily, because God is a God who longs for intimacy. I don't know about you, it's really hard to speak to someone every day and not form some sort of relationship with them. Even if that is just a little hello as you're walking into your office past the receptionist, you slowly but surely grow some sort of relationship with them. It grows from a quick hello to a how are you. You maybe get to know some of their family and you ask how they're doing. You form a relationship slowly but surely just by seeing someone daily and talking to someone daily. And part of why God calls us to him daily, not weekly, if he wanted, he could have provided the Israelite nation food enough for the week and to make it survive and not rot for the whole week. But there's something about coming to him daily which grows that intimacy we have with God, with someone else. It's to grow that relationship. So it's not just a give and take relationship, but a deep relationship. So even if we start by praying to God daily, really little things, a hello, please help me with this. Slowly but surely that gets deeper. We start opening up about what's really going on in our lives and praying God and seeking God. Because even though he knows, there's something that's really beneficial for us and our souls about opening up to him. He doesn't need us to tell us what's going to happen in our day. He knows the benefits for us. The benefits for us as we grow that intimacy with him. Because God wants a deep relationship, not just a shallow relationship. He wants us to be dogs, not cats. Let me explain. But first, I feel it's really important to nail my colours to the mast. I'm a dog person through and through. That is based completely on fact, I promise. I've had dogs and cats as families and seen lots of people who had cats, but I firmly believe that in heaven there will be dogs and cats will nowhere to be seen. There is no theological basis for that, but I believe it nonetheless. Because I feel God's calling us to be dogs, not cats. Let me explain. When a dog wants food, they'll come and sit and look at us patiently, just staring at their owner lovingly, waiting for them to give them food. Maybe not, maybe they'll come and scratch a bit of their leg till they come in, you go and give them food. Maybe they'll bark, but they'll always come to you as their owner. They'll always come to you and ask for food. And they'll keep coming back day after day because they know you are the one that provides their food. Cats, on the other hand, don't do this. Cats will not care any less if you give them food, because they'll go outside and down the road to Mrs. Jones. And Mrs. Jones will give the cat food, whether you like it or not. And even if you do put out food, most likely Mrs. Jones' food is better, so the cat's going to go down the road anyway, whether you like it or not. And it'll then scratch your face off and plan your death in its mind anyway. There's a reason that dogs are known as man's best friend, and cats are known by the Egyptians as lording over them. There's a reason behind it. We're called to be dogs, not cats. God wants us to come to him daily, not go off wandering down the street to get what we think we need. Because even though Mrs. Jones's fish may seem really inviting, actually the owner knows what's best. Your creator knows what's best for you. You may feel really tempted to wander down the street and find love in relationships of this world which seem filling but aren't really. God wants to give you the love that only he can provide. Maybe really tempting to go down the street and find satisfaction in things of the world, which seem great, but actually are really hurtful to us. We're called to be dogs, coming to our owner, our creator, to provide what we need, maybe not what we want. And as we come to him daily, those relationships naturally grow in intimacy and strength. As we come to him daily and seek what we need, not necessarily what we want, we grow and we get satisfied, and that intimacy, that relationship grows. Hannah, my wife and I were actually away this week on a marriage retreat. And one of the things the leaders were talking about is prayer, the importance of prayer in a marriage. I'm sure many of us know the horrible statistics that something like, depends where you look, 2 in every 5 married couples will end up separating. 2 in every 5. The shocking thing is that statistic doesn't change if you're a Christian. Just because you're a Christian doesn't change the fact that something like 2 in 5 relationships, marriage relationships, are going to fall apart. But some recent research has been done thinking about prayer in marriages. If a married couple regularly pray together, that stat of 2 in 5 falls to 1 in 400. If a married couple regularly pray together, the likelihood of them separating is 1 in 400. I'm not a statistician, but that's a much better odd. There is something about prayer which is intimate. In a married couple, as you pray together and share what's going on in your life and open up to one another, that forms a relationship not just between you two, but you and God as well. There is something about prayer which is intimate, which grows intimacy and grows relationship. And that's why God longs for us to come back to him daily, so we can grow that strong relationship with him. A relationship that, come hard times, is going to stand firm. Not just in the good times, but it stands firm in the hard times. Because God is a God who seeks intimacy with us. But he's also a God who is for us. If you've got your Bibles open and flip back to the Hebrews passage. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, it says this. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Because God is for us. He is for us. He is so for you that he chose to die for you, so that you do not need to take the punishment for your sin. He is that for you. We can try and do stuff on our own, this life on our own, and we may think we have the best intention for our own lives, but if we believe that God is love and that God knows more than we know, that God created this world, he's going to know the best way in which to live in it. In fact, he's going to know us better than we know ourselves. He's going to know what we need better than what we think we need. And so the choice to come to him daily is a selfish choice. It's a selfish choice, and it's selfish in a good way. Because the choice to come to God daily is a choice to seek what is best for ourselves. To seek what God wants for ourselves, because he knows best. He knows the best way. To receive physically what we need, emotionally what we need, spiritually what we need daily is a selfish choice, because he's going to give us exactly not what we need, not what we think we need. And it may not seem like it when that happens, when God speaks to us as we pray, as we read scripture daily. It may not seem like it when we pray and he's telling us to leave our job. Or we pray and read scripture and he's telling us to give away some of our money or all of our money. Or when he's telling us to stop doing that thing that we love, but it's actually causing us to stumble. It may not seem like the best thing. But God knows us and he is for us and wants the best for us. And if God is for us, then who could be against us? If we seek him daily in prayer and in reading of the Bible, learning about him, sharing our lives with him, we will receive what we need for life from him. It doesn't mean life is going to be easy. But it means we know we're journeying life with the creator of the world who has the best for us, who will never leave us, never forsake us. Back in Exodus 16, where he started, verse 18, it says this. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Just as much as we needed. When we pray daily, we receive just as much as we need. When we read scripture daily, we receive just as much as we need. It seems simple, doesn't it? Great, we're just going to all go pray daily and read scripture daily and get what we need. The reality of life is when stress and life hits and we get busy, it's really easy for our prayer life, for our Bible reading to be the first thing that goes out the window. It's the first thing that falls away. And then we wonder why we're finding it hard. Why we're finding life hard. It's because the enemy is wanting to take that away from us when stress and life hit, because that's going to be the thing that sustains us. That's going to be the thing. What we need is what we need. And so the enemy is going to try to take that away from us, so then we don't have what we need, so then we struggle and find it hard. Prayer is a discipline. It's a choice we make as followers of Jesus, as disciples. It's a habit we must grow and maintain and choose to do. Find ways and patterns and times in our life which fit us. Throughout the history of God's people and the history of church, people have prayed at different times in different ways and different styles. It's about us discovering what is a way that fits into our life, that nourishes us, that will sustain us through the good and the bad times. Find what is nourishing to us, that will allow us to flourish during the good times, and that will keep us from withering during the hard times. We need to find that pattern which works for us. While at university, Hannah had this amazing phrase pinned up on her wall, which said, "It's meant to be our daily bread, not our cake for special occasions." It's meant to be our daily bread, not our cake for special occasions. Meeting with God in prayer, in reading of scriptures, meant to be daily nourishing for us. It's not meant to be cake that makes us feel guilty when we finally have it, which is often the case. I don't know about you, if I'm not praying regularly and I finally go back, I feel guilty. Prayer, reading our scriptures daily, is meant to nourish us, keep us alive daily. To be authentic disciples, we are called to be people that devote ourselves to God in prayer and the reading of scripture daily. Seeking God daily for our life essentials, for what we need to live a giving life. The people around me in my life who seek God daily in prayer and reading their Bible, it's obvious. It's obvious by who they are, the way they act and the way they live, that they do that. They don't need to talk about it. It's obvious by the outpouring of the fruit of the Spirit in their life that they are seeking God. They have a deep, growing relationship with God. That they're transformed more in the likeness of Christ because of that. And the thing is, without bread, we starve. We may be fine physically. We may be able to support ourselves physically in this world, but emotionally, spiritually, we will starve. And I really feel that there's many people here who you realize actually you're starving. You're starving emotionally, spiritually, because you haven't been receiving from God what he wants to give you, longs to give you. And all we need to do is just seek him. Seek him in prayer, in reading the scripture. Seek that relationship. He's a God who loves to give good gifts to us, who loves to tend for our needs. But we have to seek God daily. That's what he calls us to do. That's what's best for us as people, is to seek him daily in prayer and reading scripture. Because he's a God who provides for our needs, physically, emotionally, spiritually. He's a God who seeks that intimacy, that strong relationship with us, because that's what holds out in the long haul. That's what keeps us going when time gets hard. And he's a God who is for us, who's going to give the best to us. He's going to give us what we need, maybe not what we want, because that is best for us. So Lord, give us today our daily bread. Amen.